The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Welcome once again, one and all, to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How are you this week?
I am doing really, really well so far this week. It's been an interesting one, to say the
least. That's good to hear. Oh my goodness! It's been did you have a good holiday? Was your holiday nice? Or
it was not bad at all. We got completely stuffed on turkey and dressing, so it wasn't too shabby.
Very nice, very nice. With me, it was the potatoes. But that leads into our first story, actually, which is Sunny Stories this week. And the story that I chose this time was actually about Thanksgiving, and it's about a grandma who texted her what she thought was her grandson to make sure that he was coming for Thanksgiving dinner. And her name is Wanda Dench. She lives in Arizona. And, you know, she was savvy grandma, right? Sending texts out. But turns out that she actually texted a total stranger, a 17-year-old boy named Jamal Hinton. And so, you know, he saw the text and immediately thought something was wrong. He wasn't sure that it was his grandma, so he asked for a picture. And she sent it to him. So as soon as he received the message, you know, in the picture, he realized that it wasn't his grandma. But you know how children are. He still asked if he could come to her house anyway for Thanksgiving, and she agreed.
Oh, wow.
I just thought that was hysterical. I mean, isn't that something like a typical teenage boy would do?
Oh, know? Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, the offering of free food. I'm there.
Now, I mean, I can't imagine why he wasn't going to be with his own family on Thanksgiving, you know?
That is awesome. I'm glad that she did that for him, too, though. That's really cool.
What's that?
Oh, I said I'm glad that she did that for him, too, though. That's really cool of her to do.
Well, I guess the article goes on to say that, of course, in the spirit of the holiday, the grandmother couldn't refuse, and so the two recently met. And he will have a plate ready for him come Thanksgiving. So whatever the circumstances, it didn't look like he was going to be home with his family. And he just jumped on that opportunity. And thankfully, yeah, she was the kind of person that that opened up her home to him.
That's cool.
So I thought that was a very, very cool story.
I would definitely do the same. You know, I've always been in kind of the frame of mind that you help out anybody that needs it. And, you know, whenever anybody would come over to my house to visit, I'm always like, hey, you want some food? Yeah, sure. Okay, well, you know where it's at. Go grab it. You know, I mean, you're not a guest. You're here, you know?
You know, and that's how it is in our family. Only we were raised, especially, you know, being a girl, that we waited on the company, you know? So, and I think we've talked about this in a previous show is,
yeah.
I would be the one, you know, cooking and cleaning and waiting on everybody, or, you know, whatever, you know, if my mom was there, she would do it. We would all help. But with you, it's totally different. It's kind of like, yeah, it's in the fridge, go get it. Whereas yeah. We would wait on them, you know.
but in either case, you know, you come into the home and you're welcome to whatever's there. You know, that's just the way that I was raised up.
Yeah, and me as well. And in fact, because of my background and my ethnicity being Italian, you know, you didn't take no for an answer. Just anybody who came in the door ate, even if it was just, you know, a cookie, they had to eat something. You know what I mean?
You just came from a big hearty meal at the restaurant. Oh, well, here's a dessert, you know?
Exactly. Or two or three, you know, yeah. That's just how we rolled. I mean, it was a forced thing. You didn't have an issue or a choice.
Exactly. You ate or you're not
eat,
here.
Then, you know, if you weren't going to eat, then don't even come because you're not going to get in the door.
You got it.
You know, unless you're going to eat something. So, conditional visitation.
Yep.
Anyway, so then we go into positive phenomenon. And this one was really cool. It was about a woman who tells her own story about being very, very sick. She'd been sick for about a week. She couldn't keep any food down, any liquids down, many, many trips to the bathroom. She thought it was a flu, so of course she didn't want to go to the doctor. And finally, her husband just said one night, "That's it, you're going." So he took her to the hospital, to the emergency room, and there were no other patients, so she was taken right in. She told the doctors and nurses what had been going on with her. They all seemed to concur that it probably was the flu, being flu season, but that she was seriously dehydrated. So they admitted her and started to run some tests on her. And she just, you know, she talks about being in tears because she had to drink, you know, that chalky stuff for one of the tests, and she knew that it wouldn't keep down. And
I hated that chalky stuff.
It. Oh, yeah, right? Don't we all? You know, and then so she was just crying and upset and, you know, "Jesus help me," and screaming, tears running down her face. And the nurses were trying to calm her down. The nurse actually told her that screaming wouldn't help her. So very empathetic staff there at that facility. But but anyway, you know, they took blood and MRIs and tests and came back that her gallbladder, spleen, kidneys, everything was swollen and inflamed and her organs were shutting down. And the doctor came to her, the ER doctor went to her at 5 o'clock the next morning, and she said she would never forget the look, rather, in his eyes when he said to her, "Good luck." It was as though he was telling her, you know, he knew she was dying and didn't think she was going to make it. So, again, this ER, you know.
Yeah, they kind of get trained for that. Yeah.
So... she ended up spending, she ended up praying, she says, and she told God that if she died that day in the hospital, it would be all right, that she believed in God and Jesus the Savior, and that she would open her eyes in heaven. Well, that wouldn't be me. I'd be like, get me better, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But she'd resigned herself to die, pretty much, and she spent 2 weeks in the hospital. She couldn't get out of the bed, serious vomiting, cramping, you know, issues going to the bathroom, you know, reaching the bedpan, just a lot of trauma. The nurses were getting upset with her that she wasn't taking care of herself as they thought she should. So, I mean, there again, that's like a third bell on that facility. I almost want to write to this woman and ask her where she went and warn everybody not to go there because yeah. their bedside manner seems much, much, less than what you would, you know, hope to find at a healthcare facility.
Yeah,
but anyway,
absolutely.
She wasn't getting better. And then there was one night after 2 weeks, she got up, sort of woke up, and she said she could barely see two white figures at the foot of her bed, and they were talking. And one said to the other one, "She's not getting any better. She's had a seizure." She felt herself falling back to sleep. And as she was going out of consciousness, she saw a book. And the book was opened, and the page was the number 116. And the only thing that she remembers about the book was that it had golden edges all around the pages. So the next day she woke up, and a doctor came in and told her that she had food poisoning. It was E. coli that she had in her system, but that everything was clearing up and that she'd be able to go home the next day. So she kept thinking about the dream about the two figures at the end of her bed in the book, and she got out her Bible. And so something told her that it had to do with Psalms. So she opened up her Bible to Psalms when she got home from the hospital, and she went to Psalms 116. And the message there was actually the thanksgiving for the deliverance from death. And it goes, the pains of death surround. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver me. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from failing. What do you think about that one, huh?
It's a good one. It's actually one of my favorite ones from the Psalms. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I would say that with this lady's case, you know, The power of faith in healing is, I think, even more important than the medicine. And most doctors out there still acknowledge the power of our own minds, our own fears, our own, you know, hopes when it comes to the healing process. It's such a big part of it. And faith definitely has a big component to that.
Absolutely, it does. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I thought it was really cool.
It is, definitely. It is.
You know, and then, you know, there again, it kind of is a message to people to pay attention to your messages when you're receiving something, you know, whether it be for a dream, if you keep a dream journal and you get a message, pay attention to those because they always, always mean something. And thankfully, this woman paid attention, you know, and looked it up to get the message that, hey, she was covered. She wasn't going anywhere. Her prayers were answered, you know? So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Answered prayers in the weirdest kind of ways, you know, I like hearing about people's answerings, you know, because sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes you just don't know it until after the fact and you're like, oh, okay, that's what that meant.
Yeah, right. And that's true. A lot of people figure it out after the fact, and then in reflection, they're like, oh, okay, that's what that meant. Exactly. Yes. Very cool. So the next one we have is Furry Heroes. And this one was interesting too, I thought. A mother was looking for her son that had Down syndrome, and she couldn't figure out why her pet was acting crazy. And the little boy, Riley Duffy, he's 5 years old, and he went missing in the house, and they couldn't find him. And what had happened was he had climbed into the dryer, actually, and shut the door, and the dryer started working. So I don't know how it got started. I don't know if some of them have auto starts or something. I mean, mine doesn't. You have to, you know, touch the buttons to get it to go. But anyway, the little boy was trapped inside the dryer, and the dog alerted the mom to go to the dryer to find the little boy. And as soon as she saw him in there, she kind of freaked out and took him out and, poured water over him and dried him off with a towel. And thankfully, he's okay because of the dog.
Just another reason why I love pets. You know, pets are amazing. I mean, people don't give enough credit for how intelligent animals really are and how much they really do care for the people that own them, you know, or that they own, as the case may be, is if you have a cat, you know, you're owned by the cat. So, It's very cool though. You know, so it reminded me actually of a story that I ran across, I think it was about 2 days ago, where a little boy who was severely autistic, to the point where he wasn't even able to communicate any way outside of himself at all. His mom had been working to get, a dog that was specially trained to work with special needs kids. She brought this dog home, and as soon as the dog came home, he went and laid in front of this little boy, and the little boy then immediately bent down and hugged the dog and just fell asleep against the dog. And I mean, just was so peaceful, calm. Everything was great. The mother took a picture of it. And I mean, she was obviously in tears when she was writing the story down, saying, you know, this is an amazing experience to see my son, who normally is just sitting and crying or screaming and hollering, being calm and just interacting with this dog in this way. It was really something that blew me away. I loved it.
I read that story. I actually read that one. It was a really, really good one. And it's lovely, you know, because you know, children with autism definitely don't like to be touched.
Exactly.
And they don't like to touch other people. So for the dog to be able to get through to him like that, I think was somewhat of a miracle.
It absolutely miraculous, to say the least. Exactly. Yep.
Amazing. Okay. So the next section that we have is Seeds of Hope. And it's about a little boy named Daniel. He's 17, who has Down syndrome. And he'd always dreamed of going to his homecoming dance. And apparently he put out requests to several girls, and every single one of them turned him down. And that just broke my heart because, I mean, I raised my daughter, you know, that if something like that had happened, I can say with all certainty that she would have gone with the kid, regardless of whether or not, you know, she had a boyfriend. She wouldn't have turned him down. It breaks my heart to think that all these girls told him no. And, you know, he was faced with the prospect of not being able to go and do something that he'd always wanted to do. But at the last minute, a 10th grader stepped up to the plate. Her name is Kylie. And she actually asked him to the dance. And she just remarked that she didn't think that kids have a disability. And she thinks of them as being just different. And that she hoped that she could give him a good night of fun. So, I mean, the mother was so shocked because they had already kind of resolved themselves to the fact that he wasn't going to be able to go. It warmed the mom's heart. And one of the news stations was so impressed with her behavior that they did a whole bunch of nice things for them. the Fox 5 surprise squad showed up before the homecoming dance with, you know, like a shiny Rolls Royce, a red carpet entrance, you know, things like that, just to make their evening even more special. And there's a video that's attached to it that you can watch. That Ira will post for you, but I just thought that that was a really, really sweet story. And I was very, very happy that that girl stepped up and did the right thing for this little boy.
That was a girl that was raised right, to say the least. And I love hearing about things like that. I'm with you. You know, it breaks my heart when I see people, you know, being abandoned like that. There's no sense in it. It's like, you know, sometimes I'll look at Seth and he'll have that romantic, lonely boy kind of look in his face because, you know, he knows that he wants to be with somebody. And yet, you know, because of the issues that are going on with him, he's not been able to introduce anything like that. So, you know,
he's got me. We Skype.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
That's my man.
But I'm glad that people are out there that do that kind of thing for them. You know, I mean, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I don't get the video game stuff that he talks about, but you know, we have a ball when we get to talk. I enjoy speaking with him.
He's a cool guy. He really is. He's an awesome guy.
And when he's ready to go to prom, I can probably drive out to Indiana and take him. That'd be fun.
That works.
We're actually overdue for a visit. It's been a while.
Yep.
Is he listening?
Nope, not
Dude,
yet.
He's still listening. No, he's not. He'll be making out the invitation tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
He's such a cutie pie. I love him. So the next one that we have is Those Crazy Kids.
Speaking of.
And this one's about a little girl, a 7-year-old girl. So they were in the car with their mom, and it was her and her baby brother, and they had a car accident. Actually, two younger brothers in the car. And she, this little girl, actually dragged her brothers to safety in the car accident. I mean, to me, that's amazing. She and her mom and two brothers were involved in a really bad car accident. They describe it as devastating in the article. And I wrote my computer stuck. I can't see the rest of the article.
Well, apparently from what I understand of it, the car ended up rolling twice on a country road. And then the little girl Valley, I like that name, by the way, Valley.
yeah, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah. She jumped in and rescued her brothers. I mean, she was a little superhero.
She got him out of the car.
She got him out of the car and dragged him to safety. I mean, this little girl for a 7-year-old, man, that was a good head on her shoulders to do that in that kind of a situation.
I think it's amazing. And, you know, it's just, you look at the picture of the girl, and again, there's a video with this one. I mean, she's the sweetest, tiniest little creature, you know, that she wouldn't even think that she'd have the physical force to be able to do that, but she did it. And that's amazing to me as well. Very, very cool story. Let's see. Should we go into happiness homework, maybe?
Why, sure. That sounds good.
Okay. This week, what I think everybody should do is when you're at the grocery line, if you're at the checkout, you know, the checkout people, especially during the holiday times, are very, very frantically busy. And a lot of the supermarkets have cut down on their staffing to where there aren't any baggers. The supermarket checkout people are bagging the groceries for you. And I hear stories all the time and complaints about people when the cashier is ringing them out and throwing things in the bag, and, you know, and their bread got squished or something got broken in transit, or they packed it too heavy and the bag broke, because, you know, 99% of the time now they use those really thin plastic bags.
Right.
So for this week, I just would like everybody to bag the person behind his groceries. You can do your own, but then when the next guy in line, or even the person in front of you, you can stand up at the front of the line while you're waiting in line after your stuff's all up on the counter, and just go up ahead and, you know, help the person out either in front of or behind you and the cashier by bagging their groceries. That way it makes her job a little bit easier. The person will probably look at you like you're insane, but you can explain to them that you're passing it on or doing something nice, your kind deed for the day. And that way, you know, you can, being a shopper especially and not being rushed by having to check out the items, you'll be able to pack the stuff, you know, in a more organized fashion. So it'll make them happy. And then the cashier will have less to do. So it'll be just a little bit of a break for her, you know, for 30 seconds of her day in a very frantic time of the year.
I'll tell you what, working retail during the holidays sucks.
Doesn't it, though? Let me tell you, my phone broke on Black Friday. Let's talk about sucks here, shall we? It was so bad. 6 hours. 6 hours. Okay, it took me to get another phone, start to finish. And the guy was so incredibly patient. The first guy was very, very rude and nasty and, like, really volatile. The guy next to him stepped in and took over because he and I had had a previous conversation on the phone before I went to the store. And he was amazing. He was just wonderful. I went and bought him a cup of coffee. I mean, I did. I thought that that was so cool that he's got a line full of people, and he was not only keeping his composure, but he was polite and, you know, in a good mood. You know, I just, you don't see that very much during the holiday season.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So I was appreciative. And let's see. Well, do you want to go into Comedy Corner?
Sure, we can do that. No problem.
Okay.
Hope you guys enjoy this. These are really, really good. I love these.
I knew you would.
Even as a kid, growing up, we were poor. We weren't even poor, we were po'. We couldn't afford the other letters, man. We had no money. Look, I was actually being sponsored by a family from Haiti. That's a funny joke. I see this lady over here struggling. She don't know if she should laugh or not. She's like, When you're poor, your creativity excels. Like, it really, really excels. I remember I wanted an action figure when I was 10 years old. I wanted an action figure so bad. My birthday came along. My dad hands me a box. I open it up. It's empty. He said, "It's Invisible Man." I was like, "That is awesome!" I played with that thing for like 3 weeks, man. So my brother hid it from me. Couldn't find it nowhere, man. I knew he took it. We played games. We just made up games. We played this one game called Talk About You. The instructions were to just talk about you. That's all we did. We talked about each other. My friends would talk about me and be like, "Michael Jr., you got some big feet." And I was good at this game. I was like, "Oh, yeah? Well, you so dark-skinned, I bet if you ride a motorcycle, you get a ticket for tinted windows." It's hilarious. White people looking for black people, make sure they can laugh. Is this okay, though? Thank you. It's okay? You sure? No? We ain't had no money, man. We had a, my parents would buy us some stuff, but they couldn't pay for everything. Like, we had the game Operation, right? We ain't had no batteries. Then my cousin came over and he figured out a way how to plug it into the wall, right? It's a whole nother game now.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, music helps us out a lot. I love to sing. I love to sing. I sing in weddings, believe it or not. Why don't y'all shut your mouth? I had a friend call me not too long ago. He said, dude, I'm getting married. I want you to sing at my wedding. I'm like, okay, I'd be honored. When are you getting married? He goes, in 2 weeks. I'm like, well, thanks for the heads up. I said, well, what do you want? He goes, well, my friend, I wanted to sing. He fell through, so I called you. Well, flattered. Thank you. I said, okay, when do you want me to sing to the wedding? He goes, well, when the bride's walking down the aisle. I want you to sing then. You sure about that? Huh? I said, okay, well, what do you want me to sing? He goes, you pick. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Half of me's going, no way. The other half of me's like, I can make this a wedding no one's ever going to forget. There's a lot of songs wouldn't go well, be very appropriate at a wedding. We're walking down that. What's love got to do? Got to do? That wouldn't be very appropriate. Heard it from a friend who, heard it from a friend who, heard it from another, you've been messing around. That wouldn't be good at all. She's my best friend's girl, but she used to be mine. That wouldn't be good. Might lose a friend over that one. Oh, there's worse. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You can't always get what you want, but you can try sometimes. You might find you get what you need. Yeah. Who gives this woman? Cut. I'm sorry. We're going to cut that. That's not going to be on the show.
It's on our show. I love that guy, Tim Hawkins. He is amazing. I thoroughly recommend everybody out there check this guy out. He is absolutely hysterical. I love his bit when he does the parent songs, remaking the modern day songs as if a parent is singing them. Amazing. I love this guy. He's so great. I thank you for introducing him to me.
Oh, you are so welcome. We'll have him again in the future, I'm sure, because I enjoyed him as well. He's funny.
He's hilarious.
So for this week, for the healing herbs, I chose fennel. Fennel acts as an excellent digestive aid to relieve abdominal cramps, gas, bloating. The fresh stems of fennel can be eaten just like you would celery. The seeds are they have a great anise flavor that you can use like in fish or other dishes. And if you expect that you're going to eat a vegetable that you have trouble digesting, like, for instance, cabbage, just try adding a few fennel seeds to your recipe. And they contain creosol and alpha-pinene, which are chemicals that help to loosen congestion and make coughs more productive. Also calms the dry hacking cough of bronchitis. And Greeks actually believed that it helped with weight loss. So I like fennel because old school Italians, when they make homemade sausage, would put fennel seeds in the sausage. And not everybody does that anymore. So we grew up using fennel for that. And also babies, we would put, my great grandmother had us make chamomile tea in bottles for babies that had colic or that had digestive issues. And fennel tea as well. She would have us boil up some fennel and just strain it and cool it and put it in the baby's bottles, and it definitely helped them. So for the tincture this week, it's actually what I chose was it's a recipe that will help you if you have stomach upset. And it also, I think, will help if you have a tight chest for cough production. And it's very simple to make. It's one half cup dried peppermint leaves, 1/4 to a half cup of very finely diced ginger root, fresh ginger root, 1/4 cup of dried fennel seeds, about 1.5 cups of boiling water, 1.5 cups of vodka or rum. That should make some of you very happy out there. And then a quart-sized glass jar with an airtight lid. And all you do is you put the peppermint, ginger, and fennel in the glass jar and pour the boiling water over it until they're covered. And then fill the rest of the jar with a vodka or rum. It's got to be food grade only, not rubbing alcohol. And put on the airtight lid. And you keep it in a cool, dark place for at least 2 weeks, up to 6 weeks. Shake it once a day. And then after 2 to 6 weeks, strain it through a mesh strainer or a cheesecloth and store it in vials or small jars. And then the dosage for adults is up to 1 teaspoon straight or in water. And you take it for heartburn, indigestion, nausea. Usually one dose will do it, but sometimes you may need two. If you're pregnant, 1/2 teaspoon in the morning will help with morning sickness. And then additional doses as needed throughout the day. And for children, 10 to 20 drops is usually enough. So try that on your kids too. And if you're pregnant, nursing, or of course have a medical condition, always check with your doctor or your midwife before using any herbal supplement or remedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's that one.
One of the things I would toss in as well with this is you were mentioning about the boiling water and pouring it into the glass. For those that want to do this kind of thing into like a glass mason jar and that kind of thing, I definitely recommend taking like a stainless steel knife, you know, like the regular bread knife kind of thing, and putting it into the jar before you pour the water in. And then when you pour the water in, just pour it in, you know, normally, but have that knife in there with it. The reason why is because the knife will help to suck away some of the heat away from the glass, and you'll have like less likely accidents occurring where sometimes if you pour in a hot liquid into a cool glass, it'll crack the glass. It'll actually keep that kind of thing from happening. It'll make it impossible for it to occur.
Well, there you go. Very helpful hint. So that's Ira's Webby of the week.
You got it.
I love you, Ira.
I'm gonna hold who needs holding, mend what needs mending. Walk what needs.
So then we'll jump right into Maggie's moments. And this one here, this is a very painful story, but it's going to be a good one, I think. As I've talked about in previous episodes, I came back with Tennessee with 3 little puppies. And I had been looking for a home for Lily right along up until probably about 3-4 weeks ago when I just, my family and I, my kids and I got really attached to her. And we had kind of decided to keep her because we hadn't had anybody that we had thought was just, you know, suitable to give her to a good home where either the children were old enough to not harm her, even if unintentionally, or they didn't have huge, big animals in the house that, you know, we didn't think would play well with a puppy. You know, there were a number of different reasons, and we couldn't find a suitable home for her. So we had resigned ourselves to keeping her. And she and I became very, very attached. We bonded very, very closely. So for about 2 weeks, I'd been getting the message to go across the street and ask the elderly neighbors if they wanted a dog. And I have to be honest with you, I ignored it. we're all human, and my selfishness took over, and I ignored my messages. And I don't usually do that, as you know, Ira. Usually if I hear something, I'm right on it, and I pay attention and very close attention at that. But I have to admit that my own feelings got in the way, and so I put it off. Well, last week, 2 weeks ago, actually, I went and talked to the woman. We had a huge blizzard here, and my car battery died, and I went across the street to ask her husband if he could jump my vehicle. And of course, as always, you know, I'll be right out, anything I can do. And while he was going to brush off his car and snowball his driveway so he could get up into mine to start my vehicle, I had said to the neighbor on the other side, I said, you come with me to knock on the door because you know them a little bit better than I do. And just come with me. I just wanted her to be there. So she walked up with me to the door. We got to the front door and we distinctly heard a dog bark inside the house. And I looked at her and she looked at me. I said, they don't have a dog, I didn't think. And she said, they don't have a dog, to my knowledge, either. I don't think they have a pet. And I said, well, that's kind of weird, I said, because I was actually going to approach them about the possibility of them taking Lily. And she looked at me. Well, with that, the woman came to the door and opened the door, poor thing in her pajamas. And I said to her, you know, I asked her what I needed for her husband to come over and jump the vehicle. And of course, you know, like I said, he'll be right out. And he went right out to brush off his car. And because I had a moment alone with her, I said to her, do you have a dog? And she looked at me wide-eyed, like, really, it was a very, very strange expression. And she said, no, I don't have a dog. And I just, before I could stop myself, I swear to you, the words came out of my mouth, well, do you want one? And then it was like, you do that like classic hand over the mouth. Like, where did that come from? Did I really spit that out? That's not what I wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
So that was even more indication that this was meant to be, you know. they were my angels. I had no choice. It was a done deal. I'd already spit it out before I could take it back. So whether or not I was going to listen to the messages, they were going to make sure that this lady got the message. So.
Yep.
So she looked at me wide eyes and her mouth dropped open and she said, we've been talking about getting a dog for about 2 weeks. And I looked at her and I looked at the neighbor that had come with me and I said, well, I've been getting the message that I needed to come across the street for you to you for about 2 weeks that I really should check into the possibility of you taking and adopting my favorite dog. because I think that you're very lonely. And I think that she would, you know, she would eventually be okay in a setting where there were just, you know, these two old folks and her. She would get all of the undivided attention all of the time. And I have other rescues. I have the other two puppies and I have two other dogs. So I thought it would be best, you know. And so I said, what do you think about that? And she just looked at me like she was in shock and she didn't know what to say. So I said, why don't you do this? I said, why don't you think about it? I said, and it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving or the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And I said, let's get through the holidays. And I said, at the holiday weekend, you know, either Saturday or Sunday or Monday night, I'll get a hold of you and find out what you decided. So she just looked like she was in shock. And she said, okay. She said, yeah, sure. So I went home, we spent the weekend, my kids and I, with the puppies, and they went back to college, and Monday night I went over there, and I knocked on the door, and the husband answered, and I said, have you had a chance to think about it? And he said, well, yes, we have. And I said, well, are you open to the idea? And he said, yes, we are, we'd like to see her. So I packed up all of her things, and she knew something was wrong, and I had her say goodbye to the other two, and just they knew something was wrong. And she just immediately stuck her head in my neck and just nuzzled my neck and just put her paws on either side of my neck and held on for dear life. I put a little coat was on her. You know, I had her collar and leash on her. All of her personal possessions were in a bag that I was carrying, plus some food and a dish, her dish, and her little bed. So she knew. I mean, she's very, very intelligent. And we walked to the neighbors and she just clung to me for dear life. And when we got there, she wouldn't leave me. She wouldn't leave my side. She would, after about 45 minutes, she would go venture maybe 2 feet out and then look at me and then come running back. And, she absolutely knew what was going to take place, that I was going to leave her there. And so I left her there for about, probably about an hour and a half. We were there. And then I said to them, okay, you have my number. I said, why don't we try it for a few hours? And then if there's a problem, you can call me. And if not, I'll check on you tomorrow. And they said, okay. And I said, well, the only condition is this. I said, if there's ever, I said, I don't care if she's a year, 5 years, 10 years of age. If there's ever a problem where if this works out this evening and you decide that you want to keep her, that you don't want her anymore. I said, the condition is she needs to come right back to me. I said, it's just something that I won't falter on. I said, that's the condition. And the other condition is that you don't change her name. And they said, fine. And I said, I mean it, you know, if something happens, I don't want to go into a family member. I want it coming back to us. And she said, okay. So, I went over there Tuesday night and I gave him the veterinary card and some information, about the vet and, her first visits and things like that, records. And, I asked how she was doing and she was just like squirming. The lady was like holding onto her for dear life, but she was crying and wanting to get down. And the lady was just holding onto her and holding onto her. You could tell she really wanted this dog. And Lily was just wanting to come to me. So finally, after about 10 minutes of her whining and crying and barking, the man says, well, would you like to see her? And I said, well, I'd really like that, you know, just for a minute. So with that, the woman just instantly released her death grip on her. And she came running over to me and she was all over me. I mean, she sat in my lap. She was kissing me. She was jumping on me. She just wouldn't get off my lap. And it was very painful. And that went on for like probably 10 minutes. And then I said, I've got to go. And I hugged her and I kissed her and I told her I loved her and I gave her to the man and I walked out. And so they've had her now it'll be a week tomorrow. And, as hard as it is, you know, when we get attached to an animal, I know that in the long run, this is what God intended for me to do. This is why I was getting the message for 2 weeks.
Sure. Exactly.
And I can't it's really hard because you can't let your own selfishness get in the way of that. You know, I think the biggest thing is because I'm empathic, I could feel her missing me and
sure,
I could feel her wanting me and thinking that when I left, it was like, the look was like, why are you doing this to me? What did I do wrong?
Right.
And
yeah,
that
they
positively
don't understand.
Slayed me.
Yeah. They don't
that
understand.
Slayed me. It just killed me. So
one of the big
but
problems
I
with,
know, I know that it's the right thing and that I made the right choice and then it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that I can't go over there every 5 minutes like I really want to. And, you know, maybe tomorrow or the next night I can go and peek at her again. And, you know, they told me that I could come visit and I assured them that I would be back.
I will return.
And, you know, we talked about having play dates with her brother, you know, and the other dog from Tennessee. And so, cause they were all three raised together from babies. So initially we had talked about that, but then, you know, Tuesday when I went back, I got the impression that the woman was very, very possessive of her and just didn't want to lose her and was afraid that I was going to renege my offer. And so I think for a while she's going to be uncomfortable with that. But I think as things calm down, you know, we'll get to have her come over and play with the puppies or bring the other two puppies over there. Because I think that's important. You know, I think that she's going to miss them and want to see them.
Sure,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, one of the issues when you are raising like a puppy, a baby, you know, anything, is they imprint. You know, they imprint on you, and you imprint on them. So that creates that bond.
Twilight.
You know, it's hard. It's hard to break that imprinting. You know, but and it's always going to be there. It's always going to exist. You know, just because of the way that. Our developments are, you know, but in the long run, you know, it is for the best. It is what was necessary to do because that's what, you know, you were meant to do.
Yeah. It's just, you know, like I said, I my thing is, it's like, what did I do wrong? Why are you doing this to me? You know? And, but you know, friends have told me she'll never forget you and you were an integral part of her raising and that's certainly the case, and I can take pride in that, and I can still love her from across the way, you know, and visit with her once in a while, you know, just not enough to where I'm a pain in the butt with them, because if it were up to me, I'd be over there every 5 minutes, you know. But they really needed something, and, you know, she told me the story of how their dog of like 15 and a half years had passed 3 years ago, and she really missed having an animal in the home, and they're older now. So Lily's only going to be 12 to 14 pounds. In fact, she's almost full grown now. So it's a dog that's easier for them to handle. And she's a lap dog besides. So you know, all the way around. It's really what they need at this time.
It'd be difficult to see, you know, an elderly woman trying to walk a Great Dane, a.k.a. the Great Dane is walking her, you know, trying to,
right, you know,
trying to calm this thing.
It'll be fine. I'll keep you guys posted. I'll let you know.
That works.
Do you want to do dancing, jamming music while we go pee? And then we'll go into really cool affirmations, and then I have a really cool thing my dad says.
Sure, we can do that. Absolutely. Here you guys go, and hopefully you enjoy this. I like this song. This is pretty cool.
Me too.
That was a pretty interesting one. That's by country and bluegrass singer Kelly Pickler, and it was released on June 13th, 2011. Pretty interesting song. I had actually never heard it until you introduced me to it there, Maggie. It's interesting.
Well, I've been threatening to do country for a while now, and I really like her. I like her style. I like her music. She's been out for a while, and this is a little bit older song, but I like her. So, and it's not really a dancey song, but it's got a good movie beat to it, you know, and I like the theme of it, so I picked it.
It's one you can bob your head to. It's one you can bob your head to, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the person that wrote it, you know, she's written for, well, I don't even know if it's a he or she, Leslie Thatcher, honestly, but has written for George Strait, Martina McBride, Gretchen Wilson, Patti Loveless, Vince Gill. So, I mean, the person that wrote this song, has a lot of big country credits to their name. So
yeah,
that's really
absolutely
cool too, I thought.
Yep.
So, really cool affirmations in scripture. I surround myself with people who treat me well. And the ESV version of the Bible, Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And I picked that one this week because there's been a lot of complaints and readings that I've had to do about people who are being betrayed by others and friends for years and they're not friends anymore, things like that. So I thought that these might help you get by, you know, when you're having a tough time, and just, you know, let you know that if you surround with people that treat you with only the highest intentions and the most positive thoughts in mind for you, you'll be able to radiate that back to them as well. And if you're more careful about your choices, you know, sometimes we have to separate from people and it's painful when we know that they're not out for our best interests. It'll strengthen us.
Well, you know? I'll tell you, a computer way of talking about that is garbage in, garbage out, GIGO. And sometimes you just have to write out the bad code, you know, it's just the way it is.
You got it. You got it, buddy. So for Things My Dad Says... I chose learn how to jump a vehicle. And I'll tell you why I chose this one. I got stuck this week at after dark. It was like 5 o'clock at night. And I was stuck where my battery just wouldn't start. And I knew it was the battery. And there was a guy coming out of work next door to me. And I happened to catch him at the right time. And I called him over and I said, hey, you know, do you know how to jump a vehicle? Would you mind? I had the cables and stuff in the back. Now, my dad's been a mechanic all his life, pretty much. So I know how to jump a vehicle. I know little things about cars. I can pretty much diagnose my car from a sound. Be able to fix a lot of the things, but I can at least recognize a lot of what's wrong with it. And I knew that it wasn't the alternator. I knew that the battery was dead. Probably also the day of the snowstorm, my battery had died and I got it jumped from the elderly man, like I just told you, and took it down to the parts store, but they wouldn't give me a new battery because the readings were too high. They're like, oh, just wait for it to die. You don't need one yet. Your levels are good. And I argued with them that night, and being who I am, I actually said to the guy that morning, rather, I'm like, you don't understand. I said, I know what's going to happen. This battery is going to die on me in the dark, 15 minutes from here in the evening. And he just looked at me like I was crazy. Well, don't you know? It was almost 2 weeks to the day. At 5 o'clock, my car dies. So, yep. So this guy comes over and he's like, well, you know, well, first of all, I asked a woman and she's like, well, you can't use my car. I'm like, excuse me. She goes, well, I'll sit with you or, you know, I'll call somebody for you or I'll take you wherever you need to go, but you can't jump off of my vehicle. It's going to blow up my engine. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. I just need to use your car's energy, your battery, to start my car. It'll literally take a minute, and then we'll be done. I'll be right out of the way, and, you know, I can't have you drive me anywhere because what good is that going to do me? I don't have the tools. I can't see in the dark really to change a battery, you know? It's like, I just need to use your vehicle for 30 seconds. She wouldn't allow it. So then I went across the street to an elderly guy. His lights were on, and I've talked to him before. I knew he was there, and he says to me, I can't allow that. And I said, excuse me. He goes, I can't allow you to use my truck. And I said, why? And he said, because when you jump a battery, it could burn out all the wires in my system. I'm sorry. I can't help you.
What?
So then I come back. So, I swear. So then I come back across the street and this guy's coming out of work. And I'm like, okay, here's my next victim. You know, so see, business looking guy, you know, turns out he's a doctor and he had a really, really nice car. And it was like an SUV. And I said, you know, do you know how to jump a vehicle? And he said, yes, I do. You know, he's being all just machismo and he's got, you know, he's just strutting around and he gets out and he pulls his car up to mine. Well, he's got a newer style vehicle and his battery's a little bit different and he couldn't find the terminals. So I had the cables and I'm like, well, I can do it. Just let me please use your vehicle. He wouldn't let me touch his vehicle. No, I don't want you doing that. No. He goes, you know, this battery's really strange. He goes, you see how it's laid out here? You see the plus and the minus? I go, dude, I know how to do it. If I could just use your battery, I could start my car. And then, you know, please just let me. No. I'm just not sure of it. I'm sorry. I'm not sure of it. But, you know, oozing machismo, he is trying to. He says to me, he goes, here. So he takes the cables, right? And he hooks them up to both of my terminals, right? Okay. And he tried to attach it to his and sparks flew. Well, he hooked it up in a way so that my car started to spark. And I'm on the battery. So I'm like, oh my God. So like I'm pulling the terminals off and I'm like, no. I said, you know what? I said, you need to go home. I said, it's been a long day. I said, I'm sure you're tired. You have a long drive. I said, and I'm gritting my teeth, right? Cause I'm trying not to scream at the guy. And I'm like, thank you very much for why, please just leave. He almost blew my car. And I'm like, well, you won't let me do it. Right. So then with that, the older guy comes across the street and he's like, you know, I felt really, really bad for you. He says, I want to help you out. He goes, I've decided that I can let you use my car. I go, really? Yeah. I'm going to pull my truck right over. I'll let you do it. I go, okay, cool. So he pulls his truck over and then he says to me, you know, when I was a young guy, he's like 84. Okay. He says, I used to own my own shop for like a year. He goes, so I'm going to do it. And I go, well, are you sure? Because I know how I can get, no, I'm going to do it. So this guy can't find his terminals on his battery. I'm like, please just let me do it. I'll be out of here in 30. Nope. So what he does is he hooks both terminals to my battery and then telling me about how he used to own an auto body shop, he throws the other two on the ground loose.
Oh,
and I'm
geez.
Like freaking out that they're going to touch. And then this, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I had visions of like the car, you know, the battery exploding. I'm like, he just threw both loose cables, dude, on the ground. If they touch, we're toast.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was a nightmare. It was a total nightmare. So finally, there was a young girl that I saw. Thankfully, I happened to be in the neighborhood where I actually know a couple of people, you know, even distantly or just recognition by face. So I got the young girl and she came right out, pulled her car up. She knows how to start a car. Her dad taught her.
So
she's been in fact, she said, my boyfriend was checking his apartment yesterday.
I
was going to call AAA. And she said, I told him, did you check the battery?
Absolutely. And you know, one thing I'd add in too here is we're coming right up on wintertime. It's starting to get the snowfalls going on. You know, make sure you guys check your batteries because now that the summertime's over and the warm weather's up and the cold's starting to set in, those batteries are going to start having problems. So,
Ira, I had to, in the middle of a blizzard, I had to get the old gentleman across the street to jump my vehicle. He had to brush off his car, snow blow his driveway, then get up my driveway, and I had to get my car started. And then, of course, I went back in the house and let it warm up for 15 or 20 minutes before I tried to drive it. But I took it to the auto parts store to get a new battery, and the guy refused to give me a new battery because my levels were okay. I'm like, dude, I've had the car. It's a 2011. I've never changed the battery. The battery's going to die. And then I told him the specific scenario that I had seen in which the battery was going to die, and it happened exactly the way that I saw it. He would not. He's like, no, I don't recommend that you get a new battery today. And I knew I was going to get stranded. I just knew it. And
yep.
He really wouldn't sell me a new battery. So what was I going to do? You know, craziness. But anyway, do you want to share your information? How much time have we got left?
Yeah, we've got a couple of moments left here. So if you guys want to go to the archive of this show, as well as all the other shows, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com and check that out. We're also available on YouTube at youtube.com/C/OpenEyesNetwork. My email address is feedback@openeyesnetwork.com, and I'm available on social media everywhere. Open Eyes Network on all of the different platforms that are out there.
And I am Maggie_Hart@outlook.com, Maggie Hart for Skype. And I have a beautiful website that Ira and his wonderful wife, Jolene, designed for me. And it's MaggieHart.com. And you can also get a hold of me on Facebook, Maggie-Violet Nile. So, and please buy my children's books for the holidays. They're wonderful, wonderful tools for children. No More Monsters and I Am Energy. They're available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Hey, that's a good opportunity for me to toss out as well. I have a book that I published, Silent Steps. You guys can go to Amazon and find it, Barnes & Noble. We're everywhere. Ask for Silent Steps by Ira Robinson. There you go. Ah, thanks, Maggie, for everything that you do. We're glad to have you here.
All right, Ira, thanks so much. Love you. See you next time, buddy.
Love you, too. Have fun, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.